Today, universities in turmoil as COVID-19 spreads, forcing thousands of students to self-isolate.
It is Friday morning, the morning that I'm moving up to Sheffield, waking up around 8 o'clock for leaving 9:30. I've just finished up loading the car and ready for the 4-hour trip up north.
This is Joel, getting ready to head off for his first year of a journalism degree at Sheffield University. What he's heading towards isn't the normal freshers' experience. With lectures online,
I've been sat here thinking about this phenomenon and what we're all going through and how students are experiencing this very, very difficult time.
And socially distanced nightclubs.
We've turned up to Codes, which is like a nightclub that's now turned into like tables. Everything like socially distanced, six to a table. And there's a good atmosphere to the place. You've got like music playing. People seem to be enjoying themselves. People are still getting drinks and things like that.
It's strange for international student Justine too, who has begun her course on History and International Relations at King's College London with an eerily quiet, enforced quarantine.
All the lights are on, but there's no one in sight. I haven't seen anybody all day except the girl who brought my Uber Eats to the door. I can hear someone watching TV in the door next to me right now, or talking on the phone or something. I don't know who they are.
She can't even say hello to the first person she's come across.
And there's some girl in the kitchen, so I can't go in right now.
Tanisha, at the University of the West of England in Bristol, it's her choice of subject that has made things tough. After all, drama isn't exactly COVID-friendly.
I was expecting the course to be practical. I was expecting it to be 60% practical and 40% written. I feel like it's going to be mainly reading scripts and stuff because I don't see how we would do practical work at the moment.
Don't expect a typical student experience if you're starting university this month. Most lectures are no longer face-to-face. Freshers weeks have been forced online and COVID infections are rising. With hundreds of students now unwell, and thousands being forced to self-isolate, anger is growing about the decision to encourage them to turn up in the first place. The row is already well underway in Scotland, where students returned earlier than elsewhere. But things are bad all over the UK, with the student regulator in England now saying that universities should consider refunding tuition fees. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, what can universities do about a COVID crisis on campus? Libby Brooks, you're Scotland correspondent for The Guardian, and we know that in Scotland, universities went back first, so you're seeing problems first. When COVID hit before the summer, universities had to react fast, moving students out and where possible, switching to online lectures. And then as cases dropped sharply over the summer holidays, they knew that they were going to try to get students back. What preparations did they put in place to reopen this month?
In terms of what is in place for students now, the majority of teaching is online, obviously for practical subjects like medicine, science, where there has to be a face-to-face or hands-on element, then there is very strict guidance in terms of distancing, wearing masks, ventilation of classrooms and so on. I've heard of the University of Exeter has been giving out thermometers so that students can test their own temperatures. And in terms of testing, again, I've heard of some universities actually sort of taking it in-house now. I think Nottingham University is trying to provide facilities via their vet school at the moment. Also, at this point, we need to understand that there's been this increasing lack of fit between what universities were hoping to provide. So many of them saying they wanted to give as much of, particularly for first years, as much of the fresher experience as possible, with the increasing government restrictions, particularly over the last month.
I love the idea of they were going to try to offer as much of the fresher's experience as possible. If I try and think back to the fresher's experience, I'm not sure much of it is particularly COVID safe.
Exactly. I mean, that's where it does sort of come down to what did they expect was going to happen. Certainly during the summer, lots of universities were still trying to imagine what a freshers week could look like if it was significantly scaled back with a lot of online elements to it, but still trying to give young people the chance to meet and make friends and, yeah, as you say, do all the other COVID-friendly things that we all did when we were at university. You know, you had Birmingham City University talking about having outside film screenings and silent discos. Some campuses that were very big and had a lot of outdoor space were again talking about sort of doing lots of outdoor events. You had other universities like the University of Sunderland trying to basically recreate the whole Freshers Week experience online. They were wanting to put together these immersive digital campus replicas. So these were the sorts of things that universities were thinking about during the summer. But as infection rates have spiked, I think that most of them have significantly scaled back their offerings and are really sort of thinking about online only, certainly in terms of socialising. And I guess the important point to make here is that because Scottish universities go back a few weeks before English universities, we have sort of borne the brunt of that. And I guess English universities will now be looking to the experience that Scotland has had, well, that we're still going through, that students are still going through, to see what they can learn.
And on that, much of it's going to be online. Why were they telling students that they should physically come to university towns? Or were some of them saying to stay away?
That is the question. Why do we need to have students coming to campuses where they are essentially going to be doing everything online? Students were still being encouraged to come to university, even as infection rates were spiking. And it was becoming increasingly evident that there was a significant contradiction. It was this bizarre situation where you've got the rule of six brought in just as students are returning. Students and staff are brought back onto campus where, certainly in Scotland, the advice is consistent been to work from home. And in fact, on Tuesday, there were reports that key guidance was changed at the last minute to encourage students to take up their accommodation on campus, despite the fact that this was in direct opposition to the government guidance for all other sectors. The president of the University and College Union in Scotland, Carlo Morelli, has condemned that as an experiment in herd immunity.
And that anger is understandable because for all the measures that you've outlined, it seems to me blindingly obvious that there's going to be a problem if you stick thousands of 18, 19, 20-year-olds together in university towns or campuses. You can attempt bubbles, but as we were saying, socialising and mixing is core to the student experience. And on top of that, as you say, a second wave was clearly coming. Surely that changed everything.
Yes, I mean, the problem is that this was entirely predictable. I'm not sure what you could have done to have avoided it if you were absolutely determined to have students coming back into halls like this. You had Professor Mark Woodhouse on the Andrew Marr programme on Sunday saying that the spread of coronavirus in universities was very predictable and modelled.
They showed quite clearly that the risk areas were particularly first-year students in halls of residence, as well as face-to-face teaching.
I mean, my understanding is that they certainly had the scientific advice that this is what was going to happen.
What happened?
The inevitable happened. And the moment that students were back staying in their halls, we started to see coronavirus clusters all across the country. Started off in Aberdeen.
A lot of the other universities have been rowing back on the whole breaches will not be tolerated sort of rhetoric, whereas Aberdeen seemed to be doubling down on it without offering any form of support.
Then I think two weekends ago, St Andrews.
Yesterday evening, students at St Andrews University were contacted by the Vice Chancellor asking them to observe what she called a voluntary lockdown.
Then last week, we saw 500 students self-isolating in Dundee.
Very, very frustrating because circumstances that aren't due to me have caused me to miss out on Freshers Week properly.
Then came Wednesday night, and I remember just getting a news alert that similar thing was happening in Glasgow. 600 self-isolating, more than 100 tested positive. This has now sort of gone up to over 200.
It is kind of scary, especially because some people have worse symptoms than others. Mm-hmm. And it's no one has exactly the same symptoms, even in our flat.
Obviously, we've seen the cases spread across Scotland because Scottish universities went back first. But there are already signs now that this is happening across the rest of the UK.
Absolutely. Over the weekend, we had 1,700 students told that they had to quarantine for a fortnight in Manchester Metropolitan University.
I live like 4.5 hours away. If they knew this was going to happen, what was the point of making us all come here if we're going to do online lessons? Like, we've barely got any milk and bread to last us till Monday. We can't do our washing. I mean, it's a bit pathetic.
We've also seen outbreaks basically across England, Oxford Brookes, Liverpool, De Montfort, Warwick, into Wales as well, Swansea.
Local restrictions will also come in place in both Swansea and Cardiff from 6 p.m. on Sunday. That does not mean that people in Swansea and Cardiff should treat this weekend as a big blowout.
I could go on. It's not going to stop, I don't think.
Jordan Hunter, editor of the student newspaper, is going into his third year at Glasgow University studying politics. He's an international student from the US. So as this term is going so far, does it feel like you're getting your money's worth?
No, I definitely don't think I'm getting my money's worth, especially with the amount of like class time I've actually spent this year compared to last year or the year prior is significantly less. I'm spending now approximately like a third of the time that I was doing in class because most of my seminars are an hour long. They're online on Zoom. In previous years, like student life has been pretty much like my day. Like, you know, you go to university all day, like almost like kind of like your job. It's now become like a hobby. Like I have 3 hours a week where I have to sit on the computer and then everything else is just kind of on your own.
And obviously, as editor of the student paper, you have been talking to lots of students and you've been watching what's happening. Was there partying when students first arrived, and has all that stopped?
Yeah, there was a large amount of partying going on. We had we had reports from freshers, and that's actually where we really started looking into things because we had heard on basically the night after move-in that there had been a large party to the point where police had to be involved. Through talking with freshers, pretty much every day of Freshers Week, there was police interventions in at least one of the halls. There was one party reported in Murano that eyewitnesses said had about 100 to 150 students there. Other reports say it was about 120, but like clearly it was a massive party. They said it was so large that it spilled out of the accommodation and into the streets.
But, you know, I bet when you started, that it was just normal for Freshers Week to have parties like that.
It must be weird
that the police are now disrupting it.
Yeah, no, that was and funny thing is, in that exact same block, I remember just 2 years ago, I was in the exact same spot, like where we had a Halloween party spill out into the street. People were throwing pumpkins around, just like it was almost like a giant mosh pit within the actual block. Like, for some reason, there's this association with the block, that specific block, every year with having a party scene. It just always has parties going on there.
So having been in a mosh pit in that very site, you must feel for these freshers who are having quite a different experience this time around.
It's unfortunate. And like my heart goes out to them that like they don't get the same experience. But at the same time, I think they just shouldn't have been put there to begin with, you know, like. The university promised them the same social experience as the previous years. The university promised them the same educational experience as previous years. But, like, that's just not what we're seeing.
Libby, given the outbreaks across the UK, what has the response been? Let's start where you are in Scotland.
Students have been warned about socialising since term began, and there have been very strong messaging, particularly about not having parties. But then late on Thursday evening, University Scotland brought out a really strict set of guidelines telling students that they were banned from socialising. There was a ban on them going to bars, restaurants, cafes, for this coming weekend. The new rules also included a red card, yellow card disciplinary system that they warned could lead to students losing their places. They also talked about the police being brought in to help tackle rule breaking. It was an incredibly harsh response, I think particularly at a time when you already had over 1,000 students, some of them, let's not forget, are still 17, self-isolating in these tiny wee rooms with people that they don't know, far away from home. And this was the response of University of Scotland. And I read through the press release. It was not couched in any sort of warm language. I think the Scottish Government recognised the fact that this had gone down extremely badly. The next day at her press briefing, Nicola Sturgeon was adamant that this was not about blaming students, that students were equal partners in this, and it was simply asking them to play their part.
I am so sorry, so heart sorry, that this time of your lives is being made as tough as it is just now. I really feel for you. And I want to also be clear, because I know some of you feel as if you're being blamed for the spread of COVID right now, that that's not the case. You don't deserve to be facing this. Nobody deserves to be facing this right now. And it's not your fault.
By the same token, though, you've got the Children and Young People's Commissioner for Scotland asking if this may in fact infringe young people's human rights. One of the things that had really upset students was the fact that the National Clinical Director, Jason Leach, had also said that they were not allowed to go home, even if they were self-isolating and feeling really unwell, even if they were feeling very distressed about having to be on their own in halls. They weren't allowed to return to their family homes.
Self-isolating is really, really hard, but it is vital to prevent the spread of this disease.
And that was Scottish Government policy all of last week. That has changed now again, and I think we can see a much softer approach both from University Scotland and the Scottish Government going into this week.
And what about the rest of the UK?
It seems that there's been a similar response across the rest of the UK. You had Oliver Dowden at the weekend defending student lockdowns and saying that it remained in doubt whether students could return home for Christmas. And there has been understandable anger again from students and parents and from a lot of staff working in universities as well. Let's not forget them.
And this is not the first time that we've heard people feel offended that the response to COVID outbreaks seems to be the blame game. But are most students following the rules?
There have been some reports, particularly in Scotland over the weekend, about student parties, police being called to break up large gatherings in Edinburgh and in Glasgow. But I have to say that evidence suggests that students are following the guidelines as seriously as everybody else is. I was really struck, actually, yesterday. It was a beautiful autumn afternoon and I went for a walk with my wee boy in Kelvin Grove Park, which is this beautiful parkland that sweeps down the hill from the Glasgow University buildings and then follows the river through the West End. And I was just so struck by the fact the play park was absolutely dowed out with people, the skate park as well, full of teenagers. But all of the grassy areas where you normally see big groups of students at this time of year, really empty. And that will be because those students are elsewhere.
Jordan, hundreds of students are having to self-isolate. Are they being given support by the university? And what is the mood among them?
So yes, a lot of students are self-isolating. A lot of them were initially upset with the conditions of their self-isolation. So for instance, in halls, they would give you food. We took some photos of the food. It was not vegetarian friendly, not vegan friendly, not kosher, not halal. It was just a lot of canned meats, dry pasta, and like instant ramen. But a lot of that stuff had to be like heated up or cooked. And in a flat where, for instance, one person might have gotten COVID, it was not very friendly for them, because that meant that so they were still interacting in a space with someone who actively still is dealing with the case. And they were worried that basically there was going to be this recycling of cases within a confined flat. Self-isolation for a lot of people has been tough, like mentally. One of the freshers we talked about, he said that he put down his 600-pound deposit, and then at that point he was like, "There, it's the point of no return." And then after enrollment, he found out that, like, you know, his classes would be done remotely, but he's like, "All right, well, at least I'll still get to live in halls and get, like, the student experience." He now has COVID and has to self-isolate, and he's just completely distraught.
Why do you think that the university promised them such a similar experience to normal? And are they feeling really annoyed about those promises?
In our discussions, a lot of attention has been drawn to perhaps of the monetary incentives of the university to fill halls, as well as try to make sure that, you know, they get some money from international students, because really international students are the ones that are driving up a lot of the financials of the university. Like, they're the ones that pay tuition. They're the ones that typically stay in halls at, like, in a greater proportion than domestic students. And so I think that's why the university was trying to do, for instance, Freshers Week, to make sure that they could fill halls, that international students could still come and still feel like it was worth something. There's also, like, this hope that a lot of students have that it was just a step trying to get back to normal. However, a lot of students, especially as of late, just don't believe that. They just don't believe that there is a step back to normal. If anything, we're taking steps backwards.
Glasgow University has announced that it's going to refund all students in halls of residence 1 month's rent, along with a £50 payment for food. Do those you're speaking to feel that goes far enough?
We've heard mixed reviews. So one student we talked to said that he was quite glad that the university is finally doing something. Like, at least it shows that there's some care for students where there hadn't been previously. We've also talked to other students who are quite upset at the situation and said that the entire, like, situation stinks of neglect and incompetency, and they don't feel comfortable staying in halls, especially if the university isn't going to do anything further to prevent what happened Freshers Week from happening later in the year. And now there's this worry that with halls that students won't be able to go back home for Christmas or be able to go see their families. So there's obviously loads of concerns that students have. I know of some students who've already decided, like, as soon as their isolation's over, they're moving out.
Coming up, why was there such a rush to bring students back to universities? Libby, as the number of campus outbreaks grow, we've heard what it means for students. What about staff?
I think staff are incredibly worried at the moment, and I think their worries are twofold. First of all, there's safety. The Guardian reported on Friday that Joe Grady, who's the General Secretary of the University and College Union, is actually calling for face-to-face teaching at universities just to be halted until the government has fixed its test and trace system and until these outbreaks have been dealt with. The Guardian has also reported that a lot of teaching staff are saying that their managers are bullying them into returning, or they're sort of worried about redundancy, feeling that they're unable to refuse to go back and see students face to face, even if they have health concerns or concerns about the health of someone that they live with. And I think it's also worth pointing out, it's not just about safety concerns, but it's also workload concerns. It is an incredible increase in work in terms of preparing these courses to operate online as well.
And I can understand their worry, because obviously for an older age group, COVID is a bigger risk. But at the same time, you've got a situation where students are paying a lot of money to go to university and facing being saddled with debt for the rest of their lives. To them, presumably, Zoom classes doesn't quite cut it.
No, exactly. And again, I've heard a lot of people talking about the fact that this is just not the elite education that they had been led to expect. Of course it's not. And I think that's why one of the things that NUS Scotland, for example, is calling for is support for those students who do decide they just want to defer their university course for a year or so until all of this disruption has been worked out.
Okay, well, we are currently in the middle of it. There's massive disruption from what you're telling me, not just across Scotland, where of course universities went back first, but spreading across the UK. And the students are back now. Yeah, this has all happened. They've started. Is there anything that universities can do now, both in terms of tackling the outbreaks, but also in terms of continuing to provide education?
I think this is incredibly difficult for both the Scottish and the UK governments. And I think they must be thinking seriously about the prospect of at least closing these halls to students, because really those are the places where the virus is spreading most quickly. I think we have to remember that this is not happening in isolation. So the context is generally a mounting pressure from experts on governments to go further than the current restrictions. There's pressure from Nicola Sturgeon on Boris Johnson to go further as well. And we don't know how that's going to impact on students. You've got the National Union of Students, both in Scotland and across the rest of the UK, saying that it wants to see online education as a default, that it wants to see anybody who wants to go home from university allowed to go home without facing any financial penalty in terms of rent and not facing any disciplinary penalty either. I think that is a really big concern at the moment too, the fact that these pretty harsh sanctions are being brought in, students being fined, police involvement. I think there was some cases at Manchester University launching disciplinary action against several students who'd breached a curfew. And you've got a lot of people who are facing threats of suspension and expulsion. And I think certainly as reporters, we really need to keep an eye on that.
You say surely they're thinking about closing halls, but we've not heard about them doing that. And perhaps I might suggest the reason we've not heard about it is the elephant in the room. Isn't it all about finances for universities?
There is a huge amount of anger about that, particularly in Scotland, and the feeling that students have basically been lured back to these halls of residence to bolster their university's bank accounts. We know that the marketisation of higher education means that it's student fees and it's rent that keeps many institutions afloat. And we've heard a huge amount of criticism about that, particularly over the last week, from students and academics and parents. I was speaking to Amar Anwar, who ended his term as rector of Glasgow University just as lockdown began. And I mean, he's livid. He's very, very angry about what he describes as senior management sitting on huge salaries while students are treated as cash cows, and says that these are abject failures that have really put safety at risk and that universities are essentially in breach of their duty of care. On Sunday night, the Scottish Government finally put out revised guidance on students being allowed to go home. But before that guidance was even put out, the Sunday papers were full of photographs of students leaving their halls over the weekend, young people piling suitcases and bags into taxis. We've seen this mass exodus, and I can only imagine that unless something is urgently done, then we're just going to see that continue.
Libby Brooks, thank you very much.
No problem, Anushka.
That was our Scotland correspondent, Libby Brooks. Obviously, this piece was highlighting what is happening across the UK, and there are similar problems everywhere, but because we spoke specifically about the University of Glasgow, we went to them for a response. They said that the shift to online learning in the majority of cases was in line with the whole sector, but they insisted it made no difference to the teaching hours offered to students. They added that they had tried to offer support to 2,800 students in residences with free meals, including the option of fresh food, as well as the financial support that we mentioned during the piece. They recognised the sacrifices made by those in halls, but insisted that only a very small number of students had left. They strongly rejected the idea that they had encouraged students back because of the finances, saying that they wanted them to experience the city and university firsthand. They said lots of students wanted to return, but they had made clear that everyone would be supported, whether they were on campus or working remotely. We also went to King's College London, who said they were offering students who had to quarantine appropriate support. Do follow Libby's reporting on this, as well as our education team, Richard Adams and Sally Wheel. Also, do listen to our US Politics Weekly with Jonathan Friedland, which they recorded through the night, deconstructing the first election debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. That's it for today. My thanks to Libby Brooks, Jordan Hunter, and at the start of this piece, Joel Hook, Justine Nobel, and Tanisha Nicholas. This episode was produced by Courtney Youssef, Elizabeth Cassin, and Hannah Moore. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.